This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast. My name is Mark Vance, and today I want to talk to you about the serious duty of joy. What I mean when I talk about joy is happiness. Like, I'm not talking, when you're like, man, is there some sort of deep theological answer? No, I'm not talking about anything deep. I'm talking about the serious duty that Christians have to be joyful people, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I would say rejoice is the way Paul puts it, that in even serious times, we need to be the sort of people that have a joyful, lighthearted spirit, not because we're not serious about the times, but because we have such strength in the Lord that our joy propels us forward. The way I want to say it to you today is this. I'm going to repeat this phrase a lot. I think in the Christian life, we really need to take Jesus very seriously, and we need to take ourselves way less seriously. We need to laugh at our weirdnesses and mistakes. We need to take Jesus seriously and ourselves way less seriously. And so today, I want to spark some joy in you. I want you to listen to this and walk out from this podcast and think, I need to cultivate joy and happiness in my life, a joyful spirit. And so we want to look at some scripture. I want to give you an example from church history in Charles Spurgeon that I think is an example of holy joy. And just, I've got six suggestions, ways that this week you can cultivate joy in your life. So just a few verses of scripture to start us off. Galatians chapter 2, or chapter 5 rather, verse 22. Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit. So the thing that when you know the Spirit of God is evident in a person or in a people, the evidence, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm just going to highlight that again. Joy is listed number 2 in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. People that look like people who have the Spirit at work in them. Paul doesn't go the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is miracle-working signs. He says the primary evidence of the Spirit is a transformed heart where they're loving and joyful. Joy is central to what the Holy Spirit produces, and it's central to the life of God's people. Even one of my favorite examples of a joyful outburst of God's people is in the book of Nehemiah. As the people gather to hear from God's word as it's being read, and they think, oh no, this is a time of heaviness. We haven't fulfilled God's word. And actually, Nehemiah says to them, here's what I want you to do. You need to hold a festival, a celebration to God. You need to go eat and drink. This is Nehemiah 8:10. Go eat what is rich and drink what is sweet. Do you notice that is a biblical command for cookies and ice cream? Eat what is rich and drink what is sweet. Have a Coke. Send the portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to the Lord. So on a holy day to God, on a festival day, what does he say? Don't grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. What propels you forward? The joy of the Lord. And so when you're celebrating in God, it's not just appropriate to mourn and to weep over your sin. It's appropriate to party and to drink Coca-Cola and to have an ice cream sandwich as an adult and to do things that are rejoicing in the Lord, because he is our strength. All of that roots out of what God's done for us. Here's another one of my favorite verses on joy. Psalm 32, verse 1. How joyful is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. How happy is someone who's forgiven? What is knowing that you've been accepted by God and forgiven in Jesus to produce? Joy, happiness. In that joy, here's a couple proverbs on joy that I think are so important. Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes the face cheerful, but a sad heart produces a broken spirit. And like that one, Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Even this is really important for us in a time where we're supposed to work to keep one another safe and healthy by being physically distant from people. Yeah, physically maybe stand a foot or two further apart, but you need to celebrate and be joyful with others, because an isolated and lonely and downcast heart, it says that broken spirit dries up your bones. There's a physical consequence to profound anxiety and sadness. But what is it? A joyful spirit is good medicine. Happy people are healthy people. I don't know that that's universally true, but when we look at the Proverbs, what we find are general truths that apply in life. And the Proverbs are generally going to be true. I'm telling you, happier people are healthier people. I've found that to be true in my life, and I think it is a truism. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. The fruit of the Spirit, guys, is love, joy, peace, patience. The most joyful people in the world should be Christians who know their sins are forgiven, that they are protected by their Father, and that there is so much to rejoice in. So we can even as Christians be what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we can be sorrowful yet always rejoicing. We know even in hard times that there's joy beyond it. And one of the best examples of that that I know from church history is a guy by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great British preacher. He also is the gentleman that I named my Labradoodle after. My Labradoodle is named Spurgeon because my Labradoodle has fuzzy hair, and so did Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British preacher. And both my Labradoodle and Charles Haddon Spurgeon don't take themselves all that seriously. Okay, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I just read an article about him. Here was the lead line in the article about Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon took the gospel more seriously than he took himself. That is a trademark of joy, that you take Jesus very seriously, but you take yourself a lot less serious. In his autobiography, one of his friends wrote of him, "I laughed more when in his company than I laughed during all the rest of my life combined." In Spurgeon's own day, you need to understand that often in the 1800s when Spurgeon is preaching, laughter was not to be a part of a church service. In fact, people really looked down on it. Charles Spurgeon was quoted of saying of church people in his day that they believed that the 12th commandment must have been, "Thou shalt wear a long and sad face on Sundays." But yet he was just this bubbling up, joyful, funny person. Laughter was the medicine for his own soul, and he thought a light heart could bear heavy burdens. One time, this is just a great story of Spurgeon, during one of his sermons, a lady approached him after the service was over and said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I believe you make too many jokes while you're in the pulpit. Your lightness and frivolity is insulting to the seriousness of God's word." And Spurgeon replied, "Ma'am, if you had known how many other jokes I held back, you would not have found fault with that one and would have commended me for my self-control." He was a funny guy, and he believed fervently and wrote often about how Christians should be the most joyful people in the world. Here's a quote from him. "If anybody's mouth should be full of laughter, it should be ours." The very thought of the grace of Jesus on him often caused him to go between tears and laughter. Here's one of his recountings of that. He says, "There are times when if I sit alone and I think of the grace of God shown to me, the most undeserving of all his creatures, I find myself ready to laugh and cry at the same time for the joy that the Lord should ever have looked on me in love and in favor." I love that. I find myself ready to laugh and cry at the same time that the Lord would look on me in love and favor. That's the testimony of a guy who learned to take Jesus and the gospel deadly seriously and to take himself a lot less so. And I think there's something for us to learn from him and for us to cultivate, especially in moments that are difficult. In times like the coronavirus where we get weary and we sometimes just are tired, what I want you to do this week after hearing this is I want you to take some steps to cultivate laughter, joy, and happiness in your life. I'm going to give you 6 suggestions, serious suggestions to cultivate a holy joy. Okay, here's suggestion number 1. You need to do something that makes you laugh hard this week. A joyful heart is good medicine, And if a joyful heart is good medicine, then at times YouTube is a great doctor. Now, look, I have spoken before on this podcast. I will speak later about how I basically think all social media is like the devil and is ruining people. We'll get into that more. But cat videos on YouTube are funny. I don't care. There's that compilation where they put the song Sail behind that cat trying to jump out a window, and I laugh till I cry every time I watch it. You need to do this. I just want to be a pastor to you right now. I want you to go get your YouTube machine and type in dog jumping downstairs. And you will email and thank me later. Dog jumping downstairs. It's incredible, people. This is why the internet was invented. It was not to promote human knowledge. It was to promote laughter, which is good medicine. Okay, here's another couple suggestions if you want to get lost in little YouTube. Okay, search Brian Regan, U2 and stuff. Brian Regan is a comedian. Occasionally, he says a word that I would not like my children to repeat. So you might want to put on your fancy smancy Apple headphone devices, but U2 and stuff, it is clean, and I cried laughing watching it this morning again. Okay, here's another thing you could do on YouTube. I don't want to go too far on this, but just Google babies laughing. Watching babies laugh, if you don't laugh, you got a problem. You need to check that out. And so I'm just telling you right now, laughter is good medicine. So I give you YouTube videos to help your spirit, but you might just have a friend who makes you laugh. I want you to do something this week that actually you have a belly laugh, like just a moment of laughter and rejoice in God. It's a gift. Okay, here's a second suggestion. Going beyond laughter, get into nature. Go out on a walk to cultivate your joy. We were not created to be indoor creatures only, okay? So the heavens declare, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. So staring at your ceiling, you can't see that beautiful declaration of who God is. You got to get out and look at some heavens. If they're declaring the glory of God, then your ceiling is like a muffler. It's just keeping the sound of his glory quiet. So get out there and stare at it. Here's one way you could do that. Again, get your Apple iPhone or Google device and download one of those apps that lets you look up at constellations. I have this one called Night Sky. You can hold your phone up and it will show you the constellations that are in the sky at night, which is really amazing because I used to have these books and I would go out with friends and be like, oh, look, that's thus and so, that's the dragon. And I would look up and be like, no, it's not. It's just, there's nothing up there. Well, now you can take your phone and look like a smarty pants with your kids. You can be like, check this out, kids. Dad's an astronomer. Kids are impressed by that junk. So get your phone out, go out on a walk at night, look up, enjoy nature. Don't just be an indoor creature. Okay, here's a third step to cultivate joy. Cultivate gratitude. Become a Barnabas. Barnabas in the scripture is called the son of encouragement. That's what his name means. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. That this was the guy that you're like, you're feeling down, you want to get around Barnabas. So here's my challenge. Don't just get around Barnabas, be one. Okay, parents, with your kids this week, I want you to express to them something you are grateful for that you see in them. Don't just nitpick at their failures, lift up their successes. Spouses, I want you to find something you think is so great about your spouse, and I want you to tell them. I want you to write a note of thankfulness to another person who has served you well. I want you to get a gift for someone that says, I see you and I notice you. You know what you'll find? It's more blessed. It's more joyful to give than to receive. And actually, in expressing gratitude to God and to others, you remember that life is full of unbelievable things. And it sparks joy. Okay, fourth key to joy. Get some sleep, people. It's time for us to start sleeping more. Psalm 127, I'm going to read these verses. I love just the picture here. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain, you get up early and stay up late, working hard so you have enough food, yet he gives sleep to the ones he loves. I'm going to read that verse again. In vain, you get up early and stay up late, working hard. It's the picture of a constant churning anxiety to do more. And yet God gives sleep to the ones he loves. Why? Because he promises to provide. He sees the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and says he cares more about you than them, and yet he clothes them and he provides for them. And so since you have a father who is in heaven, you can sleep 8.5 hours a night and wake up refreshed. You know what that I've learned in my life? Tired Mark is grumpy Mark. If I'm tired, I'm grumpy. So I don't know what sort of sleep pattern you need to have. I'm uncertain of your circadian rhythms or your internal clock. I don't know if you're, what are the words, a night owl or the morning woodpecker. I don't know what they call those things. But anyways, whether you're a night person, I want you to get a good night's sleep this week. Now, I want to speak specifically in this to a group of people called young parents. And I just want to tell you, I understand that this is going to be impossible for you for like 7 years. That's why God gave you coffee. It's why he created it, is for young parents. And so I'm sorry that you're not going to get a lot of sleep as a young parent, but so I'm going to give you a little hint here. As a pastor, it's something called a nappuccino. Young moms and dads, you need to learn this. A nappuccino is when you combine a nap and coffee. So here's my advice. You get like a cold brew, because if it's too hot of a coffee, this next step is going to be painful for you. Cold iced coffee, and I want you to chug it quickly. And then I want you immediately after that to lay down to take a nap. And then 25 minutes later, set your alarm and wake up. And what you'll find is right about that moment, the caffeine is hitting your bloodstream as you're waking up. And it is a glorious experience. It's called a nappuccino. It helped me through college. I'm giving it to you as a gift of love. Get some sleep, people. Get some sleep. Tired cornerstoners are grumpy cornerstoners. Get some sleep. Fifth step to cultivate joy this week, I want you to think about your Sabbath day. We've recorded a podcast in the past about this, about living in rhythm, that God made us. He is the creator, and it says he worked for 6 days, and then he gave the seventh day to us as a gift. And so what I want you to do is go back to that podcast. Maybe you need to listen to that. We'll link to it. Maybe you just need a review that Sabbath is not about what you give up. It's not about laying like comatose on a couch. Sabbath day is about working hard for 6 days so you can have a day that is the day of joy, that is the day of the best stuff in your week, where you have an ice cream sandwich and you put frosting on the ice cream sandwich. Here's something you could try on your Sabbath day this week. Bake some cookies, save the cookie dough back. Take one cookie on the bottom, put cookie dough in the middle and a cookie on the top, and have a cookie dough cookie sandwich. It's a sandwich that's made of cookies with cookie dough in the middle. If that doesn't make you happy, I don't know how to help you as a pastor. I don't know what to do. So Sabbath, I want you to have the best day. So it might take some planning. You might have to take a look out and say, what's something that I would love to do? What's something I know I'd love to do with my spouse? We need to get a date night. Let's get a babysitter to come in. I don't care what. I want you to think ahead and lay some plans for this week, you to have a day off that is the best day. Now, sixth suggestion. This is something I think needs to be part of that Sabbath preparation. Sabbath isn't just the best day, it's a day dedicated to God. And my sixth suggestion to cultivate joy is corporate worship. The Bible talks often about how we just explode in joy as we gather together in the house of God. We just long to be with God's people. And I want to gently push some of you right now. I know it is easier to stay at home and watch it on TV. I'm noticing that in myself, right? Like you get up and on Sunday, it's like 43 degrees and rainy and you're like, oh my goodness, my left leg hurts. a little, well, we could just watch it on TV this week. And then you get in your, and I'm just telling you, there is something profoundly different with gathering with God's people than watching the gathering of God's people online. In one, you are a participant in the room, adding your voice to the praise of God's people. And in the other, you're a spectator, watching people worship. And it's really hard to get past that spectator mentality when you're alone in your basement. And so I want to urge you, if there's something that you need inside your Sabbath day for it to be the best day of the week, I think it's this. You need to worship physically present with God's people, because there's something about that where the joy of the Lord that is our strength, when we sing it together, it hits the heart in a deeper way. Guys, take Jesus deadly serious. Take eternity deadly serious. Take the Bible deadly serious. But don't take yourself all that seriously. Laughter is good medicine. And joy is a great path. It is commended by the scripture. If you want to study an example, look to Charles Spurgeon. And this week, try to take one of those six steps and work to insert some joy. Laugh hard. Get out into nature. Be a grateful person. Get some sleep. Have the best Sabbath day and join God's people to worship. And my prayer is that for all of you, as you do that, you'd experience the joy of the Lord, and it would fill you with strength to live for Him.